Jeremiah chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 4, let us read. The scripture says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." And what this generation, where we are, what this age needs, and not just this age, but we looked in some other places that we saw the value of those who had a kingdom mindset, those who understood the need that God had placed upon them with a way of kingdom thinking, of be able to invest what God had taught them in the generation that was with them, but also a generation that was to come. A kingdom-minded person, there's several things about a kingdom-minded person. I would encourage you to write this down, because if you don't recognize these things, you need to recognize them. One, because everybody that I've ever met, everybody I've ever read about in the scriptures that was kingdom-minded, we find these principles surrounding their life. A kingdom-minded person always has fruit on their mind. A kingdom-minded person always has fruit on their mind. We find that in various places in the scripture, but y'all recall in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul made reference to the church at Rome, how he longed to be with them. He'd been anticipating spending time with them. Very similar how we've been praying about coming and spending time with y'all. And y'all been praying for us. And we've been looking forward to being with your pastor and your church family and the Carvers. And not just to be with them, but we've come to have fruit among you. I come to sow the seed of the Word of God among y'all this week, and I anticipate, as the Scripture says, the Word will not return void. Amen. What we planted it, what He sent it for, it's going to reap a harvest. And I tote this little bean with me. It's a pole bean. I keep it in my pocket. I've been carrying this thing for a while now. And it reminds me, every time I pull it out of my pocket and I set it up on the dresser, or I reach in my pocket and I pull out a few other things and I see it, it reminds me that I have no idea how many beans are within this bean. Now, God knows how many beans are in this bean, but you and I don't know, right? I mean, can anybody estimate how many beans might be in this bean? Come on, somebody give me a long shot. Just throw it out there. A thousand. A thousand beans might be in this bean. But it might produce a thousand beans, but how many beans are going to come out of those thousand beans? Thousands upon thousands of thousands of beans are all within this one bean right here. But you know what? This bean won't never produce another bean if it stays in my pocket, right? If it stays on my dresser, what has to happen to this bean for it to produce a thousand upon thousands of beans? What does it need to do? It's got to be planted. Why? God has put an eternal law, eternal decree, a principle that what a man sows, that whatever he sows, he shall also what? Reap. So if I sow this bean, I'm going to reap beans. Now, I'm not going to reap grapes out of this, am I? I'm going to get pole beans out of it. I'm going to get something to eat and I'm going to get something to plant. But I have no idea how many beans are within it. But I do know that as long as it stays in my hand or in my pocket or upon my dresser, it will remain a single bean as it is. And you see, a kingdom-minded person has fruit on their mind. So they're always thinking about taking the seed, the precious seed of the Word of God, and planting it in other people. Now, you don't take the Word of God and go plant it outside. You don't take the Word of God and plant it in immaterial things. The Word of God is always to be planted where? In the hearts of men and people. And we let God bring forth the harvest. Now, we know some seed is going to fall on the wayside, and some seed is going to fall on stony ground, and some seed is going to fall on shallow ground. But I want to tell you, our God is at work. Amen. How many of y'all know God's on the job right now? He's at work. Is He never not at work? And He's preparing hearts right now in this community right now. He is preparing people. He is preparing little boys and girls, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. I watched a few people ride by today. Y'all ever notice how on Sunday when folks ride by the church, they won't look over here? Y'all realize that? I mean, I was standing out there. I was just about jumping out in the street waving, and the old fella wouldn't even look over here. I don't know why that is, but he just wouldn't look. But you know, there's old fellas out there. There's good old boys out there that still need Jesus. And they'll never know Jesus unless somebody's been sent to them. Amen. And therefore, we need to be sent. We need to hear from the Lord so that we can plant the seed of the gospel, the word of God, because we have fruit on our mind. A kingdom-minded person always has fruit on their mind. A champion for the cause always has fruit on their mind because they're a kingdom-minded person. But not just fruit on their mind, they always have the brethren in their sights. I've never come across a kingdom-minded person that didn't have the brethren, the people of God, within their sight. They was always looking for somebody who had a common conviction in the Word of God with them. They like being with the people of God. Amen? Amen. Now, I don't always like everything about the people of God. Do y'all? That's just the way it is, because people are people and people are problematic. But you see, if I'm going to help shape this next generation, I have to realize that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of three things, he says in Timothy. What did Paul tell Timothy? God's given us a spirit of what? Number one, he's given a spirit of power. Number two, he's given us a spirit of what? Love. And number three, he's given us a spirit of what? Of a sound mind. You know what that simply says? That's simply saying this, that God has given us exactly what we need to know how to deal with problems in our life. That's power. He's given us what we need to know how to treat people. That's love he gave us. And he's given us exactly what we need to know how to handle pride. And that is a sound mind. We have everything we need to help shape this next generation and the ones to come. That is teaching them how to treat people with love. How to deal with problems with power from the Lord. To look to him and how to handle pride. He's given us a sound mind to be able to do that. So I don't have to fear on being a mess up. I don't have to fear failing. Matter of fact, God will use your failure to bring glory to him. Amen. If we'll be open and we'll be honest and genuine and authentic with this community and admit our faults and admit our wayward ways and admit our backslidden ways and admit when we get in the flesh. Why? Because we want to have fruit among this community and we want to see more brethren come into the body of Christ, and I want to be with the people of God. Amen. Amen. A kingdom-minded person always has the brethren in his sights. That's number two. Number three, a kingdom-minded person always has the gospel in their heart. That is simply saying they have the gospel hidden away. They're ready. Paul said it this way, Brother Jerry, he said, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. And that same thing applies to you and me. If I don't have the gospel in me, guess what? I'm not going to share it. Amen. But if it's in me and overflowing out of me, I can't help but share it. I just can't help but give it away. Amen. I mean, how many of you ever been around somebody who's been a little bitter? Bitter people spew bitterness everywhere they go, don't they? They can't help it. They're just full of bitterness. You ever been around an angry person? What do angry people do? Y'all ever been around a sour person? Now, don't look at nobody. Listen to me. What do sour people do? They spread sourness everywhere they go. What do sad people do? It's just in them. That's what they give away. But you find somebody that has the joy of the gospel in them, they can't help but talk about Jesus and what he's done. Amen? I'm telling you, if that's not you, listen to what Jesus said. Come follow me, and I'll make you what? Y'all think he was lying? What'd he say? Come follow me, and I'll make you what? So if I'm not fishing for men, there's one of two problems. Number one, I'm lost and I need Jesus. That's plain and simple. I still need him. Or number two, I'm doing my own thing and abiding in sin and not following him the way that he's called me to follow him. Because if I'm following him, I'm going to be leading people to Him. Amen. It's just that plain and simple. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't run away from it. You can't argue with it. It's simple. Follow me, and I will make you a fishers of men. That means He'll use your job. That means He'll use your problems. That means He'll use everything He's teaching you in life. Everything becomes a teachable moment. He'll use the problems that you're facing with people on the job. Y'all ever have problems with people in your own home? He'll use all that to bring glory to His name when we want to follow Him. Amen. Because that means everything He's going to teach me in church, everything He's going to teach me in Sunday school, everything He's going to teach me as I'm spending time with Him in my devotion is going to help me become a better fishers of men. But if I'm not following Him, I'm not going to be leading people to Him. Amen? Amen. So you have to ask yourself, am I a kingdom-minded person? Do I have fruit on my mind? Do I have the brethren in my sight where I enjoy being with the people of God? And if you don't always enjoy being with the people of God, at least be willing to ask God to make you willing. Amen? That's a beautiful part of revival. Lord, I may not be necessarily willing right now. There may be something in my spirit that doesn't want to be around God's people, but I surrender to You and I'm asking You to make me willing to be willing. Amen? And how many of y'all believe He can change you? Amen. Come on now. He can change you. And not only can He change you, but he can change people around you as well. And sometimes He just chooses not to change people. Sometimes He just gives you what you need to bear the situation and continue on with joy in your heart. Amen. You see, but there's something else about a kingdom-minded person. Yes, they have the gospel in their heart, but they also have the lost upon their shoulders. Paul said, I'm a debtor to both Greeks and barbarians and everybody. It doesn't matter what they look like, smell like, act like, think like, talk like. It doesn't matter what skin color they are, where they come from, whether they're an intellectual or whether they don't have any education or whatever. Every single living soul on the planet has a need for Jesus. And I am an ambassador of heaven. And therefore, I carry that burden upon my shoulders. And that doesn't mean I'm going to witness to every single person I come across. Because I believe in divine appointments. Amen. I believe God prepares people for us. And I believe He prepares us for people. I think that's why Paul said this. I don't have any blood upon my hands, for I have not shunned to declare the gospel to all that God has put in my path. That is simply saying I've been sensitive to God's Spirit. I've listened to what He's told me. I've been kingdom minded. I had fruit on my mind. I had the brethren in my sights. I've had the gospel in my heart. And I want to tell you, I have the lost upon my shoulders, and I'm going to carry that message to them on the job, on the seas, in the community, wherever I go. And Paul spent a lot of time in jail, didn't he? Why did he spend a lot of time in jail? Because of the cause of the gospel. And he saw that jail time as a great opportunity. That's why he asked the church at Colossae to pray for him. He said, pray that God would open a door for the word, and that we'll be faithful to preach it, that we'll preach it with authority, and we'll preach it with accuracy. But we're asking you, I know we're in jail because of we've taken this burden on with a lost world around us, but we're asking you to pray that God would give us unction and He would give us power, and we will not back down, slow down, or give up, but that we'll keep pressing on. If we have to stay in this prison from here on out, that God would open doors through this prison for us to make missionaries right here. That when they get free, they can go share the gospel. And that when we're free, we'll share the gospel, that nothing will stop. Man, that's a kingdom-minded person, amen? That's a kingdom-minded person. You know what? Number five, a kingdom-minded man always has hope in his hand. Everywhere he goes, he's carrying hope to a lost and dying world. Not just a lost and dying world, but how many times your brethren get down? You ever been around somebody that's a believer? And they get down and downcast in spirit and things just get on them and this old world begins to take advantage of them. Satan begins to manipulate them and circumstances just has them in a corner and they look into the circumstance but they're not looking to Jesus. Isn't it something how when other people are going through trouble in life, you believe Jesus is big enough to handle their problems? You ever notice that? I mean, is there anything that He cannot deal with? Is there anything He can't help us get through? But why is it when we're going through the trouble, we think the trouble's too big for him to handle? He can handle it for everybody else's problems, but when it becomes personal for us, we begin to doubt him. We begin to wonder if he can carry me through, if he can guide me through. You see, we're a kingdom-minded person. Always is carrying hope to hopeless situations. And one more thing. A kingdom-minded person always has praise on their mouth. They can't help but praise him. Amen. They can't help but. How many of Jesus brought y'all through some stuff? Amen. Some tough times. Some difficulties in life. Just tell everybody what he's doing for you. Amen. Right. Just go tell people. Nobody in the world can tell your story better than you. It's your story, amen. It's what he's done. Just let him use you. And you know one way how we become that kingdom-minded person, how we recognize how to be a champion with the cause, is when we realize we are missionaries with a message. Missionaries with a message, sir. Tonight there may be somebody in this place that still needs the covering of the blood of Jesus over them. You didn't realize what he's done for you. But I want to tell you, Jesus gave his life for you, amen. You got a family member that still needs Jesus. Tonight I would encourage you to ask God to start sending people to them. Whether it be you or somebody else, somebody that will be effective in reaching out to them, and that God will start chipping away at that hard heart. He'll start breaking them down. God, send missionaries. Send missionaries with a message that realize who they are, what you've called them to do, and they go in your authority, and they're going to love my brother, my sister, my husband, my friend, whoever it may be. Start praying for them, amen. Ask God to speak light into them as he spoke light into the beginning. Because I believe it takes us praying for one another. I believe it takes us praying for a lost world around us that they'll see the beauty and the blessings of the gospel. And they need a church that has fruit on their mind and the lost upon their shoulders and the gospel within their heart, praying that God would rescue sinners. Community. Y'all have a few sinners in this community? Do y'all still have a few sinners in this church? Y'all have a few people that still need Jesus? Yes. Oh, don't beat them up. Don't badmouth them. Don't hurt them. Don't harm them. Just let the gospel wound them. Let the gospel woo them into Jesus. Let the gospel win them over unto Christ. It's got the power, amen. It can do it. It'd do it a whole lot better than you and me, amen? Just let him do the work. Be those missionaries with a message. You have a calling on your life. Go in his name and do his work. And God will bless this church tremendously when his people trust him and take him at his word. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you. We ask that you help us, that we would look to you, and that we would pray just that you will begin to burden your people with people who stand in need. And I pray that you would give us that unction and authority to go in your sweet name and be a blessing to you in Jesus' name. Amen.